We welcome each one to your service this morning, and we thank you for joining us online. We'd encourage you to share the service on the Facebook page, and certainly we pray that many will hear the word of God today that will bless and save their soul. We're commencing by the singing of a beautiful hymn, I Serve a Risen Saviour. He's in the world today. He asked me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. What a wonderful note of praise to commence with. All of our songs are taken from previously recorded services, and we would encourage you to sing along. Let's sing this beautiful song, I Serve a Risen Saviour. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Our gracious Lord and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for the privilege of bowing before Thee this morning. We do thank Thee, Lord, in our Saviour's name for the open book of God in this land. We thank Thee for the Word of God that reveals unto us a Saviour who loved us and gave Himself for us. We thank You, Lord, it shows us the way to be right with God, the way to be accepted by God, the way to be in heaven. And, O Lord, we realize that the Bible tells us there's only one way. And we pray today that, Lord, sinners will hear the way of salvation. Lord, we pray against those who are preaching falsehood and heresy. We pray against those who are preaching, as it were, another gospel, some other way to be right with God. We pray, O Lord, that they will realize neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Lord, we must be saved. We need to be saved. We need to be ready. And I do pray, Lord, that you'll cause each one listening to my voice to consider their lives and to see if they are ready to meet thee. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to save precious souls. We pray, Lord, that even this day will be a day of salvation. While we can't meet in God's house, we pray that the Lord will save in a mighty way, even, Lord, through this internet ministry. We do pray for families to be completed in Christ today. We pray for the hardest of hearts to be broken today. We pray, O Lord, for those who have spurned and mocked and ridiculed the Lord to be humbled today. And we ask thee, O Lord, the conviction and conversion will be found in the homes that tune into these services. Lord, not for the glory of a church, not for the glory of any preacher, but for the eternal glory of the eternal God. We pray, Lord, thou wilt build thy church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Remember those who are weary today. Remember those who mourn today. Remember those, Lord, who really need a touch from God. Remember those in hospital today, in nursing homes, and those who are separated from families and can't physically meet with one another. And we realize, Lord, that this is difficult. But we pray, Lord, you'll give us grace to do what is right. We pray for government, that you'll give wisdom and direction. Pray for a church that you'll protect it and build it. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless in this meeting today, that the Lord will be glorified, and that you'll bless our servant as he comes to minister thy precious word. O Lord, we ask thee in our Saviour's precious and holy name that the work of God will prosper in thy hand. Lord, watch over us, we pray. Guard our hearts, our testimonies, our lips, our minds. O Lord, we give ourselves to thee. We pray for each of the meetings that will be broadcast this week. May they be to the glory and honour of the Lord. Please, Lord, bless and undertake. Reach precious souls. And Lord, bless us as thy people as we see the work of God prospering for thy sake. Bless us now in this service. Do us good and watch over us, we pray. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things and for his glory alone. Amen and amen. We continue to worship the Lord with that beautiful hymn. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear, but burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very. Returning in God's word this morning to Psalm number 80, let's hear the word of the Lord. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbours, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root and filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou hast made as strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will we not go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And what a prayer for the church. And we encourage God's people to pray the very prayer of verse 14 and verse 15 for the work of God here in Muckerfeld. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted and the branch that thou hast made strong for thyself. We need the visitation of God. We have not the privilege of gathering week by week in the house of the Lord for the various meetings that take place, but we're so thankful that the Lord can visit us and the Lord can go into our homes and prosper us and make us more like the people he would have us to be, cause us to be more spiritual, more Christ-like, more mature in our faith. And that's been my prayer throughout this time of isolation, that as we come back in the will of the Lord, whenever that may be, whenever we come back to sit in these pews, that as a church we'll be stronger than we've ever been. We'll be more spiritual than before this pandemic. We'll be more mature, that we will know more of the blessing of God. And that means each individual member of this congregation getting before God, getting right with God, and going through with God. And this isn't the time just to lie back and waste, but this is the time to seek God. And pray also for the ministry over the internet. We have been encouraged by those who have contacted us to say that the Lord has blessed them through the ministry of the various meetings. And we praise God, and to him we alone give all the glory. But do you remember in prayer the work of God as it continues here, and we trust in the days that lie ahead, very soon we'll be able to meet again in the house of God. We do welcome each one to our service. Thank you for watching online, and we do appreciate those who have gotten in contact to let us know where they're listening in from. If you would like to do that, we encourage you to do so. Certainly do contact us through the email that is on the screen just now. And also, if you need any help at this time, either practically or spiritually, please do get in contact by message, by messenger, by phone, or by email. And if we can do anything for you, we certainly will be pleased to do that for the glory of the Lord. We do want to thank our brother, Stephen Crawford. Stephen's a member of our congregation and also in the second year of Bible College. I'm coming to the end of his second year at Bible College, and he is going to be preaching for this service this morning. We pray the Lord will bless him as he does bring that word. We then also will have our gospel evening service this evening at 7 p.m., and I will bring the word. And I trust and pray that you will tune in and hear the word of God, encourage the unsaved to tune in as well. And we pray that the Lord will move even in both of these services. Tuesday evening then at 7 p.m. is our Bible study in the book of Philippians. We continue there. On Wednesday at 7 p.m. is our children's meeting. And as I mentioned during the week that we had the Bible verses from the boys and girls, we had some from Wales, we had some from around the province, and we were very encouraged by this response. More Bible verses have come in, and we thank you for that. If you would like to send yours in, please send them in before Tuesday evening so we can get it prepared for Wednesday. And you're very welcome to send your Bible verse in. It's been a great encouragement to see the boys and girls sharing their favourite Bible verses, and we look forward to some more this week as well. Thursday evening then at 7 p.m. we have an overview of the books of the Bible, and that series is continuing, and we're in the book of Judges. On Saturday at 8 p.m. is our youth fellowship meeting, and then on Sunday at 12 noon family worship, and 7 p.m. is our gospel evening service. We do want to extend our sympathies to those who've been bereaved, and we do remember the Campbell family and the passing of Florence. Remember the wide family circle. Remember the Anderson family and the passing of Stephen. Remember his mum and dad, Timothy and Andrea. Remember the Anderson families here in our own congregation. And we do pray that this family will know a real drawing near of the Lord and grace and strength and comfort that only the Lord himself can give. We remember also the Smith family and the passing of John. John was an elder in our Ballymena congregation. And we certainly have precious memories of our dear brother. And we pray that the Lord will comfort his dear wife and family circle at this time, even as they lay their loved one to rest. Our prayer requests for this week, we do remember our sister Noreen McAfee in Emmanuel Christian School in Uganda. And then also we have our sister Christina Logan, who's a children's worker here in Northern Ireland. We would encourage you to keep looking on to the Lord, keep rejoicing in him, keep safe, and keep praying that the Lord's blessing will be known even throughout this time, that even in these unusual circumstances, that he will speak to his people, but also he'll speak to the unsaved and win many precious souls for his glory. These are all our announcements, make them subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to listen to our young people singing from a few years back, a lovely hymn, "Yield Not to Temptation, for Yielding is Sin. Each victory will help you, some other to win. Ask the Saviour to help you, comfort, strengthen and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through." And then after this song, our brother Stephen will be continuing the rest of the service.
Each victory will help you. Well, I would like to thank the Reverend McKee for his very kind words of welcome and for the invitation to come along today and to bring God's Word. Just before I bring God's Word, I would like to bring a little short report of my second year in Bible College. It's hard to believe the time's going so quick. And I would just like to thank Mr. McKee for this opportunity. And it's great joy and privilege for me to be here today and to share with the congregation here in Macrofield, even though you cannot be here in person, but you can watch on via the internet and the DVD. Well, really, classes finished about 7 weeks ago, and from that time I have been continuing on with assignments at home, with notes being sent out via email. Now, the current situation has resulted in the cancellation of all our deputation meetings and our exams, apart from Greek, which will be held whenever conditions are suitable. So we really don't know when that is going to take place, but hopefully it won't be sometime in the middle of the summer, but hopefully maybe in the will of the Lord it'll be in June time, but we just leave that in his hands. And our Christmas exam results will be carried over for the summer exams, and as I said, some extra assignments have been assigned to us in lieu of these exams. Now, at the end of this college term, 7 students will finish their studies. It's not the way they would have wanted to finish their course in the college, but it's just the way the situation is at present. And I know they would appreciate your prayers for doors to be open for them in the near future. So 5 fellows finishing for the ministry and 2 ladies finishing for missionary service as well. And we're looking to the Lord for the Lord's leading and guiding in their own lives, and even for incoming students in the will of the Lord in September. I would like to thank the Lord first and foremost for his goodness and his grace to me. I am truly not worthy of this opportunity to be not only saved but to be in Bible College studying for full-time service. And truly it is humbling, and it is a privilege which not many do have. And I want to thank not only the Lord for his goodness and his grace, but I want to thank my family and my friends for their love and support, which has been a great encouragement to me, especially in the difficult times of college life. They've always been there to support me and encourage me, and I want to thank you most sincerely for that. And as a member of Macrofield Free Presbyterian Church, as a member of this congregation, I want to thank not only our minister and our session and our committee and our minister emeritus, but also the members and the friends of this congregation for your love and for your ongoing support, both prayerfully and practically. It really does mean a lot to me, and I greatly appreciate it. It is very encouraging to know that there are people behind me holding the ropes in prayer, and I want to thank you most sincerely from the bottom of my heart. And I know on behalf of the college, Mr. Nelson would want me to mention this as well, to thank you as a congregation for your support of the college and in praying for us, and in practical measures as well, for us as a student body. And I know that this congregation has been very faithful, especially when we were able to meet for prayer in the nights of prayer meetings, that this congregation prayed for the student body and for the work of the college. And I know Mr. Nelson would want me to make his appreciation public on this in this regard as well. And so as I close my report on college, second year has just flown by so quick, and some prayer points I would like to leave with you as a congregation, just for, first of all, incoming students, just with the way the situation is at the minute, that there are still those who would like to come into the college to study, and so just would you pray for them, and that the Lord would straighten a path for them as they would seek to come into the college in September. And there will be some internal changes in the college, and at this time just remember that in prayer. For the Greek exam, I would ask that you would pray for that, please. Again, I don't know when it's going to take place, and I ideally would not like to have that looming over me all summer, so I pray that the Lord would calm the situation and that we would be able to have that exam even in June, if it be his will. I would also ask that you would pray for me, that I would have a closer walk with the Saviour. I know that I have asked this before, but it's an ongoing need I have in my own life, just for that closer walk with him. And also for wisdom, for the different situations, even this year, different situations that we're facing because of the current situation of the pandemic. But just that the Lord would give me wisdom, which I would need for not only studying, but for every other aspect of studies and for the work of the ministry. And also I would ask that you would pray that I would have a greater ability to study and to learn. I know being at home is a lot more challenging, keeping focused, and being out of the classroom setting. I have really missed being out of the classroom setting with the discipline of study in that regard. And also I would like you to pray for me for opportunities to witness for the Lord. Yes, we have great opportunities in these days with the internet in this regard, but in the future for the Lord's service, just that the Lord would open up other opportunities in his will for his service. And I just like to finish my report by quoting the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse 58. And the Apostle Paul says there, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." Amen. Okay, we're going to have our scripture reading now. And we're turning to the Gospel according to John. John's Gospel, chapter 11, for our scripture reading today. John's Gospel, chapter 11, and we'll commence reading at the verse 1. This is the Word of God. "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that they had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Amen. We'll end our reading there to verse 27. And we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us seek the face of God now as we come to the preaching of his word. Let us all pray, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege and opportunity that we have again to come into thy presence. And O Heavenly Father, I pray that you would close us in now with thyself. Lord, I pray that you would take away all distracting thoughts from our minds. And Lord, just wherever we are at today, that Lord, you would close us in with thyself. Lord, I pray that as thy word goes forth over the internet today and in a DVD at a later stage, that Lord, you would prosper thy word. Lord, that it would be a blessing and a challenge to each and every one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would empty me of self and sin. And Lord, fill me with thy spirit. Help me, Lord, to preach thy word today. And Lord, bless thy word to all those who will be listening in. And Lord, we ask and pray these things in Jesus' precious name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. It is the verses 25 to 27 that I would like to leave with you today from John's Gospel, chapter 11. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. As we've gathered around the Word of God today, each and every one of us are acutely aware of the strange times that we are living in. Unprecedented times. I'm sure you're sick of hearing that word at this time. Day in and day out, we hear all these sad stories and depressing figures. There's very little hope out there today for society. And while it is good to see and to hear of these acts of kindness which people are carrying out, people thinking of others and people reaching out to others in need, and even when we think of now Colonel Tom Moore and his fundraising efforts, these have been things which have encouraged us. And when we hear of people who have recovered from illnesses at this time. But ultimately, for the child of God, our comfort and our hope is found in the Word of God and in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to firstly notice with me this morning the declaration by Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ says that in verse 25 of John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. And we notice there, first of all, that it is divine. It is divine. In John's Gospel record, we have seven of these I am sayings. And this is number five of these I am sayings. We know that he is the living bread that satisfies hungering souls, chapter 6, verse 35. He is the light of the world, which giveth spiritual light to his people, chapter 8 and verse 12. He is the door into heaven, chapter 10 and verse 9. And he is the shepherd of his sheep, chapter 10, verse 11. Now, these words demonstrate to us the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. For only Christ and Christ alone is the Son of God. As John 3 and 16 tells us, he is the only begotten Son of God. He is co-equal. He is co-eternal and of the same substance as God the Father. And as John chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us, Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. So we see here that this declaration, it is divine. And in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, if you could turn with me there, please, to Exodus 3 and verse 14 for our reading. Exodus 3 and 14, and the word of God tells us there, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. God spoke to Moses at the burning bush on Mount Horeb, and he was calling him to go and to lead his people out of Egypt. Now, this word, these words, I am, it contains the tense of the verb to be. Now, in layman's terms, that simply means that God is, God was, and God will always continue to be. In our English language, his name is pronounced Jehovah or Yahweh. And this is telling us here today that God is self-existent. He does not depend on anybody or anything else. He is the God of the patriarchs, and he is the great eternal covenant-keeping God. He is not dependent upon anybody or anything outside of himself. He's totally independent. And when Christ says, I am, he means he and he alone. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, and the verse 59, we have the scene where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking again. And there is a crowd of people around him. And there's Pharisees in and among that crowd. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, before Abraham was, I am. And we know that that angered, that really infuriated the Pharisees. And they then sought to stone him there and then. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was at that point claiming to be God. And when he was saying, before Abraham was, I am. You see, the Pharisees held Abraham in such high regard. And when Christ uttered these words, they were so infuriated because he was claiming to be God. And this really angered them. But that must be said, my dear friend, that is the truth. Jesus Christ was before Abraham because Jesus Christ is God. And that is the God we worship today, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, the great Jehovah, the three in one. My dear friend, never let anybody tell you any different. Because Jesus Christ is the God-man. And we're living in days when people are talking down Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not somebody. Jesus Christ is not some so-called good man or teacher. But Jesus Christ is God. He's my Savior. And praise God for many of you watching in today. He's your Savior. And I trust and pray, my dear friend, he's not your Savior. Oh, that you would come, that you would, as the psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. And as the God-man, he has power over death, and he can do what he says he can do. He also knows what it's like to suffer as we do, because he was in every point tempted as we are, but praise God, yet without sin. Now we have in this scene before us, this narrative, the death of somebody that the Lord loved, Lazarus. Now Lazarus had died, and his sisters were grieving here. And we see that Martha is the main character talking with the Lord here in this narrative. But not only is this a divine declaration, but it's a powerful declaration. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. It's a powerful declaration because Christ is confirming to Martha, with whom he's speaking to face to face, he's declaring what he can do. Even though she has followed Christ and loved him, her faith is still very weak. From what we read earlier, we can see that when she came to him, she said some things which show that her faith was somewhat lacking. She said in verse 21, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And then she goes on to say in verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Here she implies that Jesus hasn't the power to raise Lazarus there and then, and that he would have to ask the Lord, his heavenly Father, for help to do it, that the Lord Jesus Christ was not able to do this in and of himself. She also thought that Jesus spoke of the final resurrection at the last day, but he wasn't talking about the final resurrection at the last day, although she didn't understand that at the time. And yes, it's very easy for any one of us to criticize Martha and her faith and how lacking it is here. But Christian, if we're honest with ourselves, if we're honest before God today, so often our faith is not what it ought to be. So often our faith has fainting fits, and we are not the Christians we ought to be. But you know, the Lord didn't, as we say, come at her and with all guns blazing. The Lord wasn't very angry and judging her and chastising her. But the Lord deals with her. He speaks to her in love. He speaks to her compassionately in declaring this powerful truth that he is the resurrection and the life. Now notice with me there, this word resurrection. This simply signifies a raising up or a rising from the dead. And as we noted, that Christ, he is not only divine, but he is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. That's what that word omnipotent means. He's all-powerful. There's nothing too hard for God. Sure, there's not. He has the power to raise the dead back to life. Think of all the many mighty miracles that he wrought, which are recorded for us in the Bible. He raised not only the dead to life, but he caused the blind to see. He caused the deaf to hear. He made the lame to walk again. That lady with an issue of blood for 12 years, she simply had to touch the hem of his garment, and the virtue went out of the Saviour's body and healed that woman. But when we come to miracles, surely, what a miracle is the resurrection from the dead. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ raised Jairus' daughter up from the dead in Mark chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 7, when he came across that funeral procession of that widow woman of Nain's son, and he simply came over to the coffin of the bier, and he said, "Young man, arise." And the young man got up, and the funeral was stopped, because death was stopped. Notice, it's very interesting that in the New Testament accounts of Christ, we never read of death taking place in Christ's presence, because he is life itself. And death could not take place in the presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when he came to where death was, he simply reversed it, because he had the power to do it. Because he's Christ, because he's God, because he's all powerful. Praise God, he can do it today as well. Think of all those people who have been in recent weeks on their deathbed, and yet the Lord, being the great physician, has raised them up. But at times, the Lord doesn't heal people in the fact that they come out of hospital and they're back to the way they are beforehand. But I want you to be encouraged today, dear Christian, especially if you have lost a loved one in recent days and weeks. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said something there to Martha in verse 4. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And even as at times you don't understand why this happens or why that happens, or why the Lord took somebody home to be with himself. But Christian, rest assured on the promise of God's word, that everything that happens is for the glory of God. And though even though we cannot understand, our small human minds cannot take it in, we cannot understand. And that is the point, dear Christian, where we just have to leave it with God. Leave a choice with him. He knows best, because he's God. We can't see the whole picture, but God knows the whole picture. He knows the reason. And dear Christian, I pray that you'll be encouraged by that truth this morning, that all things work together for good to them that love and know God. But also here is the word life. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he means, when he talks about life here, he means something that is opposite to death. Each and every one of us were born spiritually dead to God, and we were separated from him by our sin. We were sinners by birth and by practice, all because Adam sinned in the garden. And you know, Adam represented the entire human race in the garden. As the theologians term it, he was our federal head. He represented the entire human race in the garden. And when Adam fell in the garden, so we, his offspring, the rest of humanity, all the billions of us, we fell with him in sin. And you know, it's interesting to note, if you turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis in the chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And I would like to read, chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. And the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now over to chapter 2 in the verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." We have just read that account there in Genesis 1 and 2, that how God formed man from the dust of the ground. But yet, God had to breathe into this clay vessel, the breath of life. And then we know that man became a living soul because God had imparted something very special onto man. Because man is different from the animal kingdom. And yes, we're living in days where the evolutionists would love to say that there's no difference between man and animals. And even we see that borne out in the fact that there's such a total disregard for life. And this abortion lobby, and how the taking of an innocent little child's life doesn't batter an eyelid. Because their whole worldview is wrong. You see, man is the pinnacle of God's creation. Because we are made in the image of God. There's nothing else made in the image of God as humanity. And that's why every human life is precious. That is why every human passing is very sad and very difficult for that family experiencing that. But Christ came not only to resurrect, but he came as the life. He is the resurrection and he is the life. And this declares that Christ, he is the champion and the victor for his people over the power of death. You see, when a sinner comes to Christ, the penalty of our sin is removed and the power of sin is removed. You see, when Christ went to the cross over 2,000 years ago, as our substitute upon the cross, he bore the curse of God. He bore the penalty for the broken law of God. The law of God that you and I broke as sinners. But yet Christ, he came and he lived that life of sinless perfection. He fulfilled the law of God. But not only that, he lived not only for his people, but he went to the cross and he died in our guilty room instead. He bore the wrath of God upon the tree. He bore the curse for the broken Ten Commandments, for the broken law. He was cursed for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace, of our peace, was upon him. Praise God, with his stripes we are healed. And Jesus Christ has the power in himself to resurrect the dead and to give life. Notice secondly with me today, the promise of Christ. The promise of Christ. It says there in verse 26, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." 25 to 26. "And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." The Lord Jesus Christ is telling Martha here about the future and what will happen then. We see here the requirement of the promise. And the requirement of the promise is that you believe. Because he says there clearly, "He that believeth in me." She that believeth in me. we must believe. And this is not talking, or the Lord Jesus Christ is not referring to a so-called head knowledge, nor is he talking about some sort of assent to truth, to biblical truth. No, my friend. He's talking about belief. So many people in Northern Ireland today have a head knowledge about God. So many people in Northern Ireland today would even maybe assent to the fact that there is a God. But they're not saved because they have never turned from their sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was born a sinner, and I had to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to turn away from my sin and to trust in him for salvation, because there's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and the verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. No, my friend, he's not talking about the head knowledge. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. He's not talking about a head knowledge. He's not talking about assenting to truth. Oh, my dear friend, if that's what you're depending upon today, don't abandon it immediately and come to Christ. No, he says, but he that believeth in me. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After in darkness I wandered away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. With shadows dispelling, with glory I'm telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Oh, my friend, it's wonderful today to be saved. It's wonderful to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he and Silas were in the Philippian jail, you know, they were singing praises to God, even though they were in the lowest prison, even though they were in a very desperate and a very unpleasant situation. And the Philippian jailer noticed that about the Apostle Paul and Silas, that even though these men were in prison, they were still very happy. They were singing praises unto God. And after the earthquake came, the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, he had seen the evidence of faith in Paul and Silas' life. And the simple words that Paul said to the jailer was this: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Christ had promised that the Christian shall never die eternally, because Christ has removed that sting of death, because he was cursed for us at Calvary. And Christian, that is why we need not fear death. Yes, it's not the most pleasant of things to think about or to talk about. But, dear Christian, we should not be afraid to die. You know, as it says in our complex over the way, prepare to meet thy God. And praise God, for many of us, we have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. But my dear friend watching and you're not saved, I say this to you. With love, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet him. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, the verse 10, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." That word abundantly simply means above what is common or beyond measure. He gives true life with a purpose and an expected end. Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Even though Lazarus had died, that was nothing the Lord could not reverse. And as I said earlier, as the Lord Jesus Christ said to Martha, he said that this has happened that the Son of God might be glorified. You know, Martha wondered why the Lord didn't come when her and Mary went to see the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. Why he didn't go immediately there and then, or why he didn't immediately say the word to heal Lazarus. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't go to Bethany for some days after. But yet, that was in the sovereign plan of God. And sometimes, we just have to wait upon God for his will to be done. And sometimes, I know it's so very hard to wait, isn't it? But you know, God's timing is always the best timing. So it is. For the Christian, thank God that when our earthly race is run, it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And it'll be eternal life with Christ in heaven. And as Paul said in Philippians 1 and 21, to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh dear Christian, your loved one who was a believer, whom the Lord took home recently, they're with Christ, which is far better. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ mentions two groups of people here, and they had one thing in common. First of all, there was those believers who were on the earth before Christ came. Now, the Savior here addresses Old Testament saints. This is who he's referring to. Those Old Testament saints that looked forward to the coming of their Messiah. They looked forward to the coming of the Messiah by faith. And that is how they were saved. They were not saved by works or by some other means. But these Old Testament saints were saved because they believed in God. They trusted God and they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah because they had the Old Testament scriptures. They had the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah that would come to save his people. But also he mentioned here those who, well, we'll stay on those who were on the earth before Christ came. Because he says here, the Lord Jesus Christ says there, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And see, so all these Old Testament believers, yes, they're dead. Yes, their bodies are in their graves. But there's a day coming where their body and their soul will be reunited. And that is the same for those who came or who are alive after Christ's coming. This is the second group of people, believers who were after Christ's coming. Because he speaks there of those who believe on him and are alive at his second coming. We don't know when his second coming will be. But we know just as sure as the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time from heaven and ascended up into glory, recorded for us there in Acts chapter 1. Remember what the angels said to the disciples. This same Jesus shall so return in like manner as he has left. And you know what, my dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for his second coming? Or are you ready, even if he doesn't come tonight? Tonight could be your last day on earth. Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready? Because when you die, if you're saved, you will go to be with Christ in heaven. But if you're not saved, you will die and you will go out into hell. My friend, that is the teaching of the Bible. And this church has stood for over 50 years for the preaching of this word. And that's why that text is above my head today. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. It's a very solemn thing to open this word, my dear friend. And my dear friend, you must heed the Bible. You must heed the word of God this morning. And for those believers who are alive when the Lord will return, or for those who have passed, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse 17. Because it says there that those who will be alive at the when Christ breaks through the clouds and comes again, that every eye will see him and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But notice there that every Christian, our soul and our body will be reunited in a glorified body. And we will see the Lord as he is. What a day that's going to be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day. glorious day that's going to be. Hallelujah. Lastly, I want you to notice with me this morning the pointed question from Christ. The pointed question from Christ. He says to Martha, "Believest thou this?" After he had spoken these things, the Savior then asked Martha this question. He asked her not because he didn't know what she was going to say, but so she would be able to repeat it out of her own lips, and even that she would hear herself say these words. Now, it was a prompt. Christ prompted her here to answer. And as he spoke to Martha and prompted her with this pointed question, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 16, in the verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ is with his disciples, and he asks them this question. He says, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And when they collectively replied to him, he asked them another question to all those who were present. "But whom say ye that I am?" This time, it was to the disciples themselves, this question. And let me ask you this question today, dear friend. What do you believe? What do you believe? Because what you matter, or what you believe, matters a great deal. Do you believe all the scriptures, what they contain, from Genesis to Revelation? Because it is all divine, inspired, God's revelation. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's truth from beginning to end. It is that well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry. It is that bread when I'm hungry and worn. Oh, my dear friend, you could believe the Bible. You could believe that Christianity is the only way. But my dear friend, unless you have been born again, unless you're a Christian, unless you're saved, then you will never be in heaven. We're not here today to present a denomination to you. I'm not in Bible college to learn how to present myself to you. But I'm seeking to study, and this church, this denomination, was raised up for none other than the preaching of Christ. Because man will let you down. Remember Psalm 118, the verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. No, my dear friend, we see here it's very important what you believe. What do you believe? Because what you believe matters a great deal. But what you have done with that knowledge that you have, what have you done with it? Have you acknowledged that you're a sinner? Have you trusted in Christ? Have you got saved? Or have you again heard the word of God and rejected Christ? You know, over the years, and this church has stood, people have come in its doors unsaved. And people have walked out these doors unsaved. And yet they have sat under sound gospel preaching all those years. Under God's servants here. And yet today they're still not saved. Oh friend, will you not come and trust in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? But we notice it's not only a pointed question, but there is a powerful answer. Because as the Lord Jesus Christ asked Martha there in verse 26, he says, "Believest thou this?" But notice what she says in verse 27, and it's so encouraging to read what she says there in verse 27. She said unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world." Whereas earlier in the chapter we seen that Martha's faith was lacking. It wasn't what it should be. But now we see Martha's faith. Now we see what she really believed, and she was declaring it for Christ to hear. You see, I was thinking about this, you know, Martha came to Jesus there, and her faith was not what it should have been as a Christian. And so often my faith is not what it should be at times. But when she came to Christ, what did Christ do? Christ spoke to her. And we have the word of God here. And dear Christian, may this be an encouragement to you today. When we come to the Lord, even though we aren't the Christian we ought to be, and we read the word of God, then we go away changed. If we ask the Lord to speak to us when we come to the Bible, and the Spirit of God to write the word of God on our hearts, that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only, then we go away changed. We go away different. And I trust and pray that will be true, not only for myself, but for you as well. Every time you open God's precious word and you seek him in prayer, that he would speak to your heart and write his word upon your heart. Because, you know, dear Christian, we're living in days where we need to stand up and speak up for the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 that we ought to be always ready to give an answer for the reason for the hope that is within us. And dear child of God, that is our hope today. Because Jesus Christ, he is the resurrection and the life. And because we are trusting in him, we are leaning upon him. Our confidence is not in and of ourselves, but our confidence is in him and in his finished work, in his precious shed blood. That is where the Christian's hope and confidence is. And because our hope and our confidence is in him, then we ought to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. But notice there these three things that Martha made mention of. First of all, she said that he is the Christ. And that simply means that he is the anointed one of God. Not an angel, but his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the anointed of God. Secondly, he is the Son of God. And this speaks again of his two natures, his divinity and his humanity in the one person. There's no other person like Christ, the God-man. And that is the theme of John's Gospel, that he is the God-man. The theme of Matthew's Gospel is that he's the King. The theme of Mark's Gospel is he is the servant. And in Luke's Gospel is his humanity. But here we see in John's Gospel that he is the God-man. And lastly, we notice that he is the prophesied Messiah, who would come into the world to bring salvation and give the sure hope of eternal life to all his people. In Mark chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, where the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to his disciples, and he asked them that question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, Peter's reply to him was this, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wonderful, wonderful words to read. And what a wonderful confession that was from the lips of Peter. What a wonderful confession that was from the lips of Martha that day on the road to Bethany. "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And that is the mark of a true Christian, that they confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he is the anointed one of God. We've noticed here today the declaration by Christ, "I am the resurrection and the life." We have noticed, secondly, the promise of Christ, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." But we also notice lastly there the pointed question from Christ. And what great hope we have today, dear Christian, as a child of God. And when you come across the "I am" saying, I trust and pray it will be a blessing to you. And I trust and pray the Lord would write his word upon our hearts this day for Jesus' sake. And before I close, can I remind you, dear Christian, that the Lord Jesus Christ permitted Lazarus' death for a reason. It was for his glory. And you know what, dear child of God? Perhaps the Lord will not always answer our prayers the way we would want. But as the Lord Jesus Christ said to Martha, that this has happened for the glory of God. And dear child of God, whatever circumstances we are going through at this time, I pray that the Lord would use them to glorify his name, and that we would acknowledge that, and that we would depend upon him, that we would leave the choice with him, and all we would simply do is to trust in him. As the old hymn says, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I trust and pray that this has been a blessing to you today, my dear friend. And my dear friend, if you're not saved, oh, that you would come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the hope of Martha and Lazarus and Mary, because they were saved, because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and he loved them, verse 5 tells us that in John 11. But that the hope of the resurrection would be for you as well. That you would not be resurrected unto damnation, but resurrected unto glorification and heaven, to be with Christ, which is far better. Our closing hymn is the words of hymn number 7 in our hymn book. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. But before we come to the singing of that lovely hymn, I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And I want to thank you very much for your attention. And may the Lord bless you at this time. Let us all pray. Our Heavenly Father and our God, we thank you for thy precious word. We thank you, Father, for the one in whom the scriptures tell us about, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that he is the resurrection and the life. And Lord, we thank you that those who believe in Christ, yes, we will have to die someday. But Lord, I thank you that for the Christian, that it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would write the truth of thy word upon our hearts now. And bless thy dear people, Lord. Bless our congregation. And bless those friends, Lord, who are watching in at this time as well. I pray that you would bless every believer under the sound of thy word at this moment. And Lord, for those who are not saved, for those who are backslidden, I pray, O God, that Lord, you would speak to their hearts. That Lord, they would come and get right with thee afresh today. Lord, we ask and pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.
Let's stand and sing out.